G'day everyone, Wednesday, May 24, Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio, Radio Tab, and a very good morning wherever and however you are listening. We're a week away from Origin 1 in Adelaide, and it's going to be on for young and old. Bring it on. The teams are out for the round in the NRL. Fraught with danger, isn't it, punting during the Origin period, but opportunities given to some fringe players for sure, which we will discuss. Some news around Michael Hooper at the Waratahs. The Sydney Morning Herald saying that, he has told the club that he won't be back playing Super Rugby after his contract expires this year. The Lakers, Gonski in the NBA, and LeBron James, who's just completed his 20th season. Legend of the sport, of course, admitted yesterday he has to think about whether he wants to continue playing. 38 years of age, been managing a foot injury. And in the AFL, the big news conference yesterday, massive press conference, as Richmond coach Damien Hardwick confirmed he is finished as Richmond coach. Not having a farewell game this weekend, he's gone effective immediately. Having a break, and he will be linked to every job under the sun. Between now and whenever it is he does continue coaching, if he in fact does decide to coach again, you'd think he probably would, being only 50 years of age. But there's a fight night as well tonight in Melbourne on Main Event. Plenty going on, and $4.1 million Yulong paid for Forbidden Love at the Magic Millions Broodmare sale last night. Unbelievable, isn't it, the money going around. So that's the second highest selling mare at that sale after Sunlight back in 2020 fetched $4.2 million. Lozza, very good morning to you, mate. How are you?
Not too bad, Bitter. Not too bad. 7 days out from State of Origin 1 down there in Adelaide. I saw the New South Wales boys were doing a bit of boxing yesterday, so they're getting into a bit of shape. They're talking about being physical in game one, and I don't know whether much could compare to game three last year, where that was one of the more physical games we've seen in any Origin contest. But if it's anything like that, then we're in for a rip-snorting game.
Certainly are. By the way, Jake Trbojevic did tear his calf. So he wanted to get back and put himself in the frame for Origin, but he's now out for up to, around 6 weeks.
Yeah, it's always the risk you run when you come back from injury early with a soft tissue injury. And Jake, with his calf, was obviously looking to try and push and make his way into that New South Wales squad. But unfortunately, I saw him there sitting on the bench towards the end of the game, and I thought something was wrong, but I didn't say anything because he wasn't smiling, and Manly were way in front. So he sort of obviously knew then that he did something to his leg. But when you start getting calf injuries and reoccurring calf injuries, that's a concern. So he'll need to take time out of the game, 6 to 8 weeks, and get it right and hopefully come back for Manly to have a charge towards the semis at the end of the year.
Pup, morning, mate. You're taking the boat to the Monaco Grand Prix this weekend?
Morning, boys. No, I won't be in Monaco. I'll be right here in Sydney, I think. I definitely won't be in Monaco. I know that. But I think I'm staying in town this weekend.
Saw an aerial shot of Monaco yesterday.
Can you imagine what those pens cost to park your boat in just for the week?
What do you think? Give us a
ballpark. I reckon you're probably looking at,
I'm guessing, what, they by the day would they charge, or would they?
I reckon Monaco's tax free, so I reckon you're probably looking at somewhere between 300,000 and 500,000 euro per day. To be able to back into one of those pens. So you're actually right on the track. Yeah, unbelievable.
Mm.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, a lot of the boats for the
The big ones can't get in.
Yeah, they can't get in.
Yeah, the big ones
can't. They've got to go to Antibes.
Or they stay out and they use their tender to bring them back and forth. But yeah, it's I've been to Monaco.
Yeah,
I haven't been to the Grand Prix. I've been to Monaco.
Yeah, I've been
before.
To Monaco. As well.
But no, I've never been to the. I've never been to the Monaco Grand Prix. One day I'd like to. There's a few. I think Abu Dhabi. I'd love to go to watch the Grand Prix there. Monaco would be awesome as well. Singapore used to be night, or has it always been day?
No, F1 aficionado.
Yeah, okay.
Not sure.
I thought Singapore used to be night. That would have been awesome as well. Anyway, morning all. Nice to, happy Wednesday. Nice to be here. I do have a question.
Go for it.
So New South Wales have extended their squad. And they've brought in, where did I see, youngster from Cronulla.
Blake Brayley.
Now, Loz, I'm assuming that's just to have a youngster around the group, let him experience what Origin's about. But if Appy gets injured, can Cookie jump him?
Yeah, he can.
Okay.
And the fact that...
You don't have to pick whoever that guy they bring to the squad.
No, but they're probably looking at bringing some young guy in to give him a bit of experience and feel about what Origin Camp is like.
It doesn't necessarily mean you've got to pick him.
No, well, the other thing is Cookie's playing on the weekend. The Sharks aren't.
Sharks are at the bye.
So I'm assuming possibly they might have brought Cookie in if there was any doubt on Coruscant.
Okay.
And then let him go back to play. But I think... Appy's okay. They want to give him a bit of experience. I heard Freddie talk about some of these younger guys needing to step up. The Reece Robsons, he mentioned two in particular, Brayley and Robson.
Yeah, okay.
And Robson is also playing this weekend for the Cowboys. So I think part of the reason is that he just wants to give one of those young blokes a bit of an experience. I don't think it's saying that if something happened to Appy, then Cookie would miss out. I think it's about preparing these guys, give them a bit of a taste of what Origin's like.
Yeah.
But it's probably an indication if Freddie's still in charge, Brayley is
the future
front and centre of his mind.
Mm.
Just also on the text line early, hey boys, what's Adelaide ever done to deserve an Origin game? As pathetic it gets played out of New South Wales and Queensland. I actually think having one at a neutral venue and sort of floating between different states has worked pretty well. Because let's be honest, having two in Sydney has been they've struggled to sell two in Sydney out at Homebush.
Yeah.
In the last 20 years.
Yeah,
that's
a fact. They still get a decent crowd. They're still getting 60, 70,000.
Yeah, but if you're going to have Origin in Sydney, it should be sold out.
You want to have a good venue, but you also want to have atmosphere at an Origin game. Mm. And from all reports, the last Origin in Adelaide, and yes, it was during COVID, it wasn't great. Yeah, we'll find out for ourselves when we're down there next Wednesday. So if it's you know, feels like a big match, it's got the atmosphere, I'm okay with it. I wasn't originally, but when I was coaching, we took a couple of games to Melbourne, or it might have been one game to Melbourne. And I've got to say, when you get there in that MCG, when it's 90,000 people there, it's pretty special.
Mm. Yeah, I think Melbourne and Perth seem pretty good as well.
Yeah.
They seem to have worked pretty well. But and just, you know, obviously negating the advantage of having two
plus the
in
money
one venue.
Plus the money they get off the state government.
State government's tipping a lot. Yeah. That's a good point, Loz. So anyway, we'll look forward to reporting back on just what that atmosphere is like, because they get a proper crack at it, as Loz said, with being out of COVID times. So you'd expect more parochial travellers, I guess, from interstate, from New South Wales and Queensland, will head to this Origin match next week. And another early text here with a word of warning on Tommy Trbojevic. Morning, lads. Big headlines about Tommy Turbo. Back to his best in the Sea Eagles demolition job on the Raiders last week. However, nobody has mentioned just how pathetic the Raiders' backline defence was in that game. They just stood and watched Tommy walk right through them without so much as a hand on him. Be very wary. Still don't think he's 100%. Raiders made him look a lot better than he really was. No name to that one. But the thing, I think the big intangible that will probably come out of it heading into this is just his confidence. Loz.
It's amazing what confidence can do. So he knows that he still has the ability. He scored three tries, put himself in positions to score three tries, regardless of how the defence was. I still think that he looked really good on the weekend. That first try in particular, where he had bodies all over him and he had to use his power to get to the line, that showed me that he's confidence in his strength, because I reckon the last couple of weeks in that situation, he probably may not have fought. And that's when you're putting your hammy under pressure too, is when you've got that extra load on top of you, you're trying to fight in the tackle. But he was able to get the ball down and score. And then the other tries were just putting himself in the picture, and the one back on the inside, he did some light stepping to go through. So, the Raiders weren't great in defence, but I still think Tommy looked very, very good. And there was other aspects of his game where he pushed up in support and he looked as though he was cruising quite well.
Mm. And just also on Origin venues, Gibbo says, how about Auckland? For an option for Origin, I think the only way it could work in New Zealand, it'd have to be on a Saturday night. Because if you had it midweek, hard to get people to travel midweek over across the ditch, would you say? And, you know, getting home for work, etc. on a Thursday, just to get that parochial support. I guess, you know, it's only a 3-hour flight, isn't it, at the end of the day?
Yeah.
But
you could go to the
from
game.
The East Coast.
Well, mate, you know what they do in Queensland. They just they travel down on the day of the game from far north.
Don't even get a hotel room.
And they're on that first plane home. So you could do that over there in New Zealand. You could just fly straight over, get the first plane out of there, be back for work. Oh. I don't think I'd like to be doing that, by the way.
No.
From New Zealand. But anyway, people can do it if they want to go. So I think it'll work wherever you take it to, as long as you had a decent group of supporters from both states there.
Which invariably Melbourne always has, and Perth seem to even work in that regard.
Yeah. So, that's but again, Adelaide was during COVID, so and there wouldn't have been a lot of people that travelled during that particular time. So let's see how it goes on Wednesday.
It's probably been the big coaching story in any code so far this year in Australia. Damien Hardwick leaving Richmond is a feature of the back pages of the Australian in particular, and of course the Herald Sun as well, but on the back page of the Australian, Tiger King, who always protected his precious cubs, chief aim to attract Hardwick Mark II. So Damien Hardwick, the Richmond coach, confirmed he is leaving effective immediately after 307 games. And he coached three premierships, of course. So assistant Andrew McWalter is the interim coach. The players yesterday were adamant the club isn't in turmoil and the season's still up for grabs. And just as I mentioned at the top of the show, Loz, like Alistair Clarkson was after he left Hawthorn, Hardwick will be linked to every vacant job going forward until he does, if indeed he does decide to coach again. Now, you'd imagine he would. I think this is just...
When you're a three-time premiership winning
time
coach,
out of the game. Just freshen up.
You are on the radar of a lot of clubs. And it'll be up to Damien when he feels the best time for him to get back into it is, whether it's the end of the year to start next season or he wants a bit of a bigger rest. And Daff was on the program yesterday and he mentioned the Gold Coast Suns. Mm. And I was thinking, all right, that might be a possibility. But then there's an article in today's paper about him being linked there. But the Tigers, they're on the lookout for a coach and there's a couple of options that they would have. Obviously, there's a number of young assistants that would be keen to do the job. So depending on whether they wanted to go down that path or not. But there's an experienced coach at Port Adelaide who's off contract at the end of this year. And he's been a maligned coach at Port Adelaide too.
They are going good.
And they've made a number of finals series under Ken Hinckley. But there has been some talk that there needs to be a change at Port Adelaide. There was talk between the chairman, David Koch, and Ken Hinckley at the start of the year about putting the contract negotiations to one side and do it at the end of the year. I'm just wondering whether they might look at fast-tracking that or if they've decided that Ken Hinckley at the end of this year needs to be moved on and they go with someone else. But I'm sure that Richmond would be making a phone call to Hinckley and seeing if he was interested in the job.
Love this on the text line, by the way. Rumours are that Hardwick's left Richmond to coach the Dragons. That'd be a story. You don't get it, do you, pup, that he's just upped and left? He was under contract, Hardwick, till the end of next year, but he said yesterday at his news conference that, you know, he came into this year knowing this would be his last year at Richmond and just hasn't started the way he would have liked and thought, well, I'm done. Yeah. The hunger's gone.
Even that, I'm okay with that. If he wants to get out of the contract a year early, then he has that conversation with the club at the end of the season. I just don't understand. Like, Loz has just said then, okay, he takes his year off and then starts with a new club next year. What?
Well, he mightn't be able to, depending on what the release clause was. Mm. They might say that because you were contracted until the end of 2024, you're not allowed to go and coach anywhere. But I'm assuming with the relationship that he's had with Richmond, they might say, mate, you know what? All's fair in love and war. And instead of holding you to the end of 2024, if an opportunity comes at the end of this season, you're entitled to take that. So depending on what the release clause was. But I think that if you need time out of the game, how long do you need? You know, do you need just a couple of months?
I don't know how you can go and coach another club when you're on contract with that. Like, he's he's got another year, so he shouldn't be allowed to coach at all because he hasn't upheld that contract. Yeah. Once that contract, that time wears out, different story. But
on face value, you're right. When you've won three flags for that club who'd been through hell.
But what is...
They're probably pretty happy.
Well, you've got a great relationship.
Yeah.
When you're leaving on good terms, you'd be able to say to each other, well, and I'm sure Damien Hardwick would have had that conversation. He would have said to them, listen, what happens if a job comes up at the end of this season? Am I allowed to take it? And they either would have said yes or no. And he would have went, right up, no worries, not a problem. Because I think
I reckon there's got to be something else. There's got to be you're talking about a guy. Everyone loves him. To quit halfway through a season, I reckon there's something outside of what's happening on that footy field. In my opinion, whether it's personal life, whether it's mentally, whatever it is, there's got to be something else for him just to quit. In my opinion, halfway through
the
season.
Well, the burnout's a part of it.
Burnout.
Yeah.
Now on the back pages of the telly, the Sydney Morning Herald, Jack DeBellin. I just block out noise. Captain Jack is the headline on the back page of the telly. The Herald natural leader DeBellin handed Red V captaincy. So with Ben Hunt obviously on origin duty. And the round this weekend, five games, starts tomorrow night at Redcliffe at KO Stadium. It's the Dolphins up against the Dragons. And interim coach Ryan Carr handed Jack DeBellin the captaincy for the match. DeBellin's response, considering his past... which we know has been very well documented, while acknowledging everyone's entitled to their opinion. He says he learned to block out the noise a long time ago. The 32-year-old says he's honoured to do it, and he's always considered himself a natural leader. So Jack DeBellin gets his chance.
I think that, like everyone, everyone's got a different opinion on this, but Jack has been cleared to play by... the NRL and the Dragons, and you know, being named captain, this obviously would have been gone through the board and the NRL as well. He'd face serious charges, and he had two trials where a jury found him not guilty and innocent of one of those charges, and they couldn't reach a verdict on the other, so they withdrew the charges. So he's allowed to be back playing. He's part of the leadership group. There's no Blake Laurie. There's no Jaden Sewart. There's no Ben Hunt. So... regardless of what you think about Jack DeBellin, if he's the best person available to captain that club, now that he's back playing, he should be entitled to do that.
And, of course, was in origin contention as well, wasn't he? Heading into game one, where two big boys wanting to go at it, a picture of Tevita Pangai, and looking forward to his, opposing Big Tino, who certainly caused us some dramas in game three, in particular the decider last year, when he tried to bully the New South Wales side, particularly the young players in our side. There they were doing that boxing session picture on the back page of the Herald. The back page of the Courier Mail, Cam and Get Me. Marone Marvel, saw Munster dares Blues to target him. So Cameron Munster, Queensland talisman, been battling rib cartilage damage. It's been, it's emerged. He urged the Blues to bring it on if they want to target him, as he expects. Remember, he missed game three last year with COVID as well, Loz. Cam Munster probably. Coaches hate it when their players sort of give indications about what their injuries
Munster
are.
Munster right next Wednesday night.
He'll be fine.
He'll be fine. I wouldn't be targeting Munster as such because he's got a rib cartilage. I'd be targeting because he's a good player and trying to put as much pressure on him as I possibly could. And wherever he is, majority of the time, that's where the ball's going to go because he wants the ball in his hands, state of origin time. He always rises to the occasion. And I think that game in Adelaide a couple of years ago, I think he might have got a rocket off Wayne Bennett at half time and he came out and exploded in the second half. So he's got form down there. So when he goes back there, it'll feel familiar to him, the ground. And I think Melbourne had played a number of games there. So he's probably the more experienced player that's played on that oval. And it's always difficult going from that rectangular shape field to an oval. Mm. You can lose your bearings. But obviously, he's had no trouble doing that, Cameron Munster.
Dick Fain coming up shortly. Now, yesterday we were talking about what Clarkie's bedroom looked like. And he's just shown us a photo, Loss.
Yeah, just standard.
I think was that a pink doona cover?
No.
Some sort of love rustic
pillows?
No, it's like
sort of
a
colour.
It's a, I don't know, what do you call that? Beige.
Okay, right.
Maybe beige. My eyes pillowcases. Beige. Doona cover.
It's impressive anyway. Mm.
Just normal, isn't it?
No lava lamp, we're disappointed.
No lava lamp. Mm. No. Do it in lamps. What else do you want to know? TV.
See, I'm not a TV man in bedrooms.
I love a TV every night. TV puts me to sleep.
I don't go to sleep if I have a TV.
Oh, man, I crack it on and I'm gone in 10 minutes.
Then you wake up during the night and you've got to turn it off.
Yeah, that's fine.
Now, I learnt many years ago not to have a TV in the bedroom.
Yeah, I go the opposite. I love the telly.
I don't mind having it there if I'm in a hotel because I get that's a bit bored.
Hotel's different.
Yeah.
What, why?
It's novelty.
See, I try with my house, because I've spent 10 months of the year travelling, I try and have similar sort of feeling as you're in a hotel, because that's how I've lived my whole life. Mm. So I like that. I like that feel. Like, I loved the getting gimmicks. Back from training, laying in my room, put the telly on. Obviously, I can't order room service in my house, but I wish I could.
Well, you could.
Well, no, just but I chef. Yeah, I like that. Like, I'm a bit of a neat freak as well. I don't like, there's no, towel doesn't go on the floor. Towel's hung up. Clothes in dirty laundry basket. I'm pretty neat. Organised and neat, I think I'd like to say. Maybe a little bit obsessive compulsive.
Yeah, I'm neat at home, I must say.
Are you neat in a hotel room?
No, I can be a little bit grubby.
I'm neat in a hotel room as well.
I like, you know, leave the towels on the floor and things like that.
Chuck it in the bath.
I know, but I
get new ones next day.
I change when I get into a hotel room.
Yeah, it's you unwind.
I can't wait. I check out the room service.
Oh, room service is a must.
You look at the list.
Mate.
Open up the curtains to see what your view is.
Very important, staying in a hotel. That.
Yeah.
Just want to make sure there's a good club service. Sandwich.
Yep.
Yeah.
Straight off.
Then you turn the TV on and go through the channels, see what they got.
Specific question. What thread count is your sheets, Clarky, on the text line?
I've got no idea.
Yeah, no.
I can't say I bought my bed sheets. They bought for me.
Linen?
I don't know what they
Silk.
Are. Silk. Comfy. No top sheet. Bottom sheet and doona. That's it.
Yeah, you said that yesterday.
All it means is you got to wash your doona cover. So you need a couple of doona covers. And
you'd have to wash it regularly.
Excuse me. Excuse me. Are you saying I'm dirty?
No, well, you sweat.
Oh.
You told me you were hot in bed.
I get hot. I like to get the doona off.
We're going to go to the States. Dearie me.
When you're sweating all the time, it gets hot at night.
I do get hot at night. You're right. Mm. I like to sleep. Very little clothes.
Oh,
as well.
You got to have a sheet. You can't just.
No, I've got a sheet that you sleep on.
Yeah, but
you're
going to have a sheet to pull over you and have the doona over the top of that.
No.
How do I read this after that? With the French Open starting, the Premier League wrapping up, and plenty of US sport also coming to an exciting climax, it's the perfect time to head to Churchill Sports Bar in Kingsford, of course, not too far south of the city in Sydney. With a platinum and fully serviced tab open from 6 a.m. every day until 4 a.m. most days, it's the ideal place to watch the best racing in sport on more than 100 screens. It's at 536 Anzac Parade. Or head to churchillsbar.com.au. Churchillsbar.com.au for more info. How are you, Dick?
Doing well, boys. How are you?
Yeah, really well, thanks. And hey, when you first go to a hotel, Dick, and you look for room service, is there a delicacy in particular you're looking to make sure is on the menu straight away that you can get into?
I've always been a huge club sandwich fan, and the best club sandwiches are made in hotels, and also in like diners, you know, just like old, you know, greasy spoon diners and hotels. So I'm a connoisseur of the fine club sandwich on the white bread with the crispy bacon and turkey and lettuce and tomato.
How nice is that? Oh, I'm just trying to think of the first thing I do when I walk in, Dick. Whether it's check out the bathroom, check out what's on the list of room service, or pull the curtains back straight away.
I go and I see, is there a patio? Is there a deck? That's the first thing that I do. I pull the curtains open and I see, is there a place for me to just kind of sit out there, have my coffee, have a cocktail, you know, and you know, sometimes, because a lot of times you don't know if you got a patio or not. You really don't know much about the room other than, you know, whether it's a single or a double or a one bedroom or a two bedroom. And, you know, so the patio, and, you know, I went to Hawaii this last year, a little disappointed when I didn't have the patio. And I was like, dang it, I should have paid more for the upgrade.
Well, the Lakers, they'll be looking for upgrades on whatever their postseason holidays are. But Denver swept them yesterday, of course. And, well, it looks like Miami. They're certainly on the verge of sweeping Boston later this morning, our time, or night over there, of course, Dick. But the fallout for the Lakers, and particularly LeBron. And he made some comments yesterday. He wondered whether they were just emotional comments post the defeat. But how likely is it he has played his last game in the NBA?
Well, I don't think it's likely. I do think that LeBron James wants to control the narrative, and he wanted to get that out there. The question really wasn't asked whether he was going to retire, because it would have been a silly question to ask, right? Because he's always said for the last few years his plan is to play until his son goes to the NBA, and then he wants to play at least one season with his son. And, you know, he did make a comment that went a little bit against that, basically saying that it's just because it's my aspiration or my goal. This is his exact quote. So just because that's my aspiration or my goal doesn't mean it's his, and I'm absolutely okay with that. So I guess you could assume that maybe he's had a conversation with his son, and his son is like, you know, I'm not thrilled with that idea. That would be the only reason, because that seems to me like, you know, his goal was to win championships, and then his goal after he won his fourth, if he couldn't win a fifth, was to play with Bronny. And if that's not his son's goal, if his son doesn't want to play with him, they have a very good relationship, but that doesn't necessarily mean.
Just sorry, Matt, no, just sorry to interrupt there, but just on that, how does that happen if you've got to go into a draft? Can he automatically
LeBron would set himself up as a free agent and just simply sign with whatever team that drafted LeBron.
Right. So they wouldn't get into the Lakers.
Yeah. So yeah. LeBron's got 1 year left in his contract with the Lakers. Bronny Jr. is going to get drafted in the 2024 draft, and then LeBron would be able to sign with whatever team Bronny goes to. That looked to be the game plan for LeBron. I still think that's the game plan. I'm not going to read too much into what happened yesterday, so I still believe that LeBron is going to play next year with the Lakers and then go to wherever Bronny signs and probably play 1 year and call it quits at the age of 40.
How do they see the year, Dick, the Lakers? Because it was very mixed. At the start, they were horrible. And there was, you know, we spoke a lot about them not even making the finals, LeBron getting injured. So how do they assess their season?
I feel like it was a success.
Yeah, I agree.
Considering where they came from. I mean, remember, we sat here at the beginning of the season, and I said, you know, take the under on L.A. Lakers wins, and I think they still finished under in the regular season. That's how mediocre their regular season was. And then you thought the matchup with Memphis, okay, they might be able to get through that one. They might be good enough to beat a young kind of torn Memphis team with the Ja Morant controversy and everything going on, and they were able to get through that. I didn't think they'd get by the Warriors. I don't think a lot of people got by the Warriors. So I don't think it's very fair to call the Lakers' playoff run a failure, certainly, or even that big of a disappointment when most people thought they were going to lose in the series prior to Golden State.
What about in the series between the Heat and Boston? Why have Boston been so bad, Dick?
Oh man, guys. Well, the first thing is coaching. And that is not something that is really talked about in the NBA playoffs unless you got a really, really good one or you got a really, really bad one. And because most of the time it's won by the players. But Eric Spoelstra is a future Hall of Fame coach. He's a guy that got very little credit winning with the Heat because LeBron was there and Chris Bosh was there and Dwayne Wade was there. You know, anybody could coach those teams to a championship. So he didn't get a lot of credit, but he's just consistently won with this Heat team, even after LeBron James. has been gone. And after that, that super team was created and disbanded. Then you got a situation in Joe Mazzulla with Boston where he wasn't even supposed to be the coach of this team this year. Remember, it was Ime Udoka. There was some improprieties, some text messages that were sent to a subordinate, a lady at the that he was having a relationship with, and Boston deemed that a fireable offense. And so they got rid of Udoka, who has already since been hired by the Houston Rockets after he finishes his suspension. And he's going to be the new coach of the Houston Rockets next year. And Boston's left with a coach that's got no clue what he's doing. And I feel bad for Joe Mazzulla because he wasn't supposed to be in this situation. He's not ready for this situation. And I think it's hurting his opportunity to get future jobs because of a situation that he wasn't ready for. Maybe Joe Mazzulla will be a great head coach in 5 or 6 years, but he needs much, much more time. And he is just getting worked. Both he doesn't have his team emotionally ready to play, and the X's and O's have just been terrible. And Miami is just, I mean, they are the puppeteer, and Boston is the puppet right now. And I wouldn't be at all surprised to see him just finish him off today in game number 4.
Yeah, Jimmy Butler, how good's he been? And we'll preview properly next week, Dick. But it looks, Miami versus Denver, the 8th seed in the East versus the top seed in the West. And Denver, their finest hour, probably, well, what was their previous best moment? When they beat your Seattle Sonics in 94 as the 8th seed?
Yeah. Sorry to bring it up. That's right. Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. That's still my number one. You know, I got into a huge battle with my co-host last week because I brought that up as still my number one most painful sports moment, and I brought up a lot of different reasons. And he just looked at me. He thought, you know, he thought I had three eyeballs, and he was looking at me like, "What are you talking about? Do you remember that Russell Wilson got intercepted at the 1 yard line in the Super Bowl that the whole world watched?" And I was like, "Man, I'm telling you, I was 20 years old. I was a diehard Sonic fan. When you're 20 years old and all you think about is sports versus when you're, you know, what was I when the Seahawks lost? I was probably 41 when the Seahawks lost, and I had two kids and a wife, and you just got a different perspective on how hard you take sports losses when you're 20 versus when you're 41.
You're all over the golf, Dick. You tipped our listeners into Brooks Koepka.
Well, I feel like I'm vindicated from my awful Masters pick. So whatever you decided to go with my Rory McIlroy Masters picks and all the money that you lost in April due to my horrible selection of Rory McIlroy, I hope I more than made it up with Brooks Koepka at $18. But he was just a guy that was healthy now. He proved all of us in the Masters that LIV golfers are ready to compete at the highest level in the major tournaments. He came in looking very, very good in his LIV tournaments, and he just was the most complete player over 4 days. Didn't have a great Thursday. In fact, Dustin Johnson had a better Thursday than Brooks Koepka did, but I watched a lot of that round, and he was just barely off. You could tell that Brooks was going to turn things around and Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and he certainly did. And now with five majors, guys, I mean, that puts him in rarefied air. He's got more than Rory. He needs one more to get to Phil. He's ready to roll. I mean, would anybody be surprised at all if Brooks Koepka was right there in the U.S. Open or the British Open this coming month?
And, of course, Bryson DeChambeau had a good tournament. Cameron Smith finally got going late. So, again, just adds legitimacy to LIV Golf and something that, certainly the world rankings people need to potentially take a very good look at. I know it's a very divisive issue in the golfing world, but at some stage they've got to come together, Dick, don't they?
Well, what's unfortunate is the Ryder Cup situation, and obviously the next year, the President's Cup situation. We're sitting here with Brooks Koepka, number two in the standings on the U.S. team behind Scottie Scheffler, and basically he has to finish, I believe it's in the top 15, in each of the next two majors to qualify automatically for the U.S. team because he won't have enough points because he won't play in enough tournaments other than those two to qualify. And that would just – could you imagine – a U.S. Ryder Cup team without Brooks Koepka on it? That's just, I mean, that's like having an Aussie team without Cam Smith on it. It just doesn't make any sense.
In the NFL, I see that the great Tom Brady has bought a stake in the Las Vegas Raiders. What does this mean for the Raiders?
Well, and I think that I think the Raiders are a team that are headed in the right direction long term. I'm not a huge fan of their owner, Mark Davis, but I think that I think Tom Brady is only going to hitch his wagon with a team that he thinks is very, very solvent and very, very well run. And, you know, I guess maybe in the future it'll bring up thoughts of, you know, how could a, you know, could a part owner come back and play quarterback if Jimmy Garoppolo gets injured? I mean, that's, you know, that's something that's going to be discussed at some point between now and the beginning of the season. But, yeah, Tom Brady looks to be ready for the second phase of his work career.
Now, Dick, you've seen rugby league before. There's some talk, and it's started to gain momentum over here, that the NRL are going to take two games to Vegas to start the season next year. So how do you think it'll be received over there?
I think it'll be received well. I mean, Vegas is the perfect perfect place for it because people go to Vegas to do new things and see new things and experience new things, and that would be what the NRL would bring them. I mean, I'm sure there would be a lot of hardcore fans. A lot of Aussies would travel from all over the West Coast. Vegas is very centrally located to all the major cities on the West Coast, so I think they'll have no problem filling the stadium with hardcore fans. But I think also just the people that are there in Vegas, they're like, hey, what's this? You know, what's this all about? Let's go take a look at this. Take a look at this new sport that I've never seen before. And so I think it'll be. I think that's the perfect venue for NRL is Las Vegas.
I see that Aaron Rodgers has turned up to Jets training, voluntary training, although he's tweaked his calf. But this is something you didn't do at Green Bay 12 months ago, did he?
No, and it's a good sign. I'm glad he's there. I'm glad Lamar Jackson's at OTAs with the Baltimore Ravens. It's not a mandatory situation. The mini camps don't start for another couple of weeks, so they wouldn't have to be there. But it's just good form. I mean, you sign a big contract, you get traded. You know, whether it's a contract like Lamar Jackson or you get traded to a new team and you're the leader of that football team, you should be there. And, you know, looks like Aaron tweaked himself a little bit. I don't think it's the last time we'll see an injury from Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he's 40 years old, so we're going to see. It would surprise me if Aaron got through all 17 games this year without missing one or two because of an injury.
Dick, thank you so much.
See you, boys. We'll talk to you next week.
Dick Fain there in the States. Now, just some text here on the back of Clarkie's bedroom. As a fellow Liverpoolian, I'm with Clarkie, bottom sheet and Duna. No need to get fancy like Loz with the top sheet, says Jakey from the Valley.
There we go. Love it, Jakey.
Clarkie, I turned 37 this year. My wife and I have just separated after 15 years. Do you need a wingman? I don't use a top sheet either. No name to that one.
Am I in the minority here?
No, I'm with you, Loz. No, you've got to have a top sheet.
Yeah, yeah. I think if you're cold in bed, you'd go the extra sheet, wouldn't you? Or if you're like, my mum was like hygiene freak, so she didn't want you sleeping on the doona. You needed the sheet between.
So have you always been no top sheet?
I've always, even in a hotel, I'll rip the top sheet off.
Really?
I hate the top sheet. It's too hot.
I couldn't be bothered.
You rip the top sheet off.
I pull it off the bed. I don't like it. I don't like the top sheet. It's too hot. And if I've got a doona, I don't need a sheet. Like, am I hot? Am I cold? If I'm cold, put a doona on. If I'm not, get out of there. I don't like that sheet.
That's weird for me.
Yeah, I'm with you, Loz. Yeah. Strange one. We're all different. We're all different.
Do you make your own bed as well? It's much easier to make if you just got a doona. Just throw it back on. The top sheet to paint.
It's going to take you an extra, 5 seconds?
Mate.
Pull the sheet up.
Let me tell you, that 5 seconds at 4 a.m. is important.
That's true, too.
I don't make my bed at 4 a.m.
And today it is game 4 in the NBA Eastern Conference Finals with Miami, the 8th seed, looking to sweep the 2nd seed Boston Celtics and the Heat slight favourites. They are at home. $1.85, Celtics $2, skinny line, 1.5, Celtics the plus with Tab. This is after yesterday that Denver Nuggets went through to the finals for the first time in franchise history. They beat the Lakers in game 4 of the Western Conference Finals, and they trail by 15 points heading into the second half. There yesterday, the Nuggets, but that man Jokic, again, and he had plenty of help, which is something that LeBron certainly lacked yesterday, because the Nuggets won 113-111, but LeBron, 38 years of age, managing a foot injury, May need surgery on it. He had 31 by halftime yesterday, a personal best for points in a half in a playoff game for him. He ended up with 40. What a champion. But the Lakers, Gonskis. Now, give us a call, 1353 53. Send us a text, 0419 767 272. And plenty of chat about Origin on here. Now, hey lads, just on Origin, I know a lot of people are saying there's pressure on Cleary to win an Origin series, and there is. But would you agree that for Cleary to dominate, we need Payne Haas to really dominate and to physically dominate the Queensland pack? He's yet to physically dominate Origin like he does with club footy. Go the Blues, says Jaden, a New South Welshman, no doubt in North Brisbane, sending that one through.
Most definitely.
The rest of the New South Wales pack was.
I think the forwards have to start strong and have to continue that dominance, and they've got the opportunity to do that. They've got a skillful, powerful, hard-working unit, which will be challenged by Queensland, but it's about you doing it consistently long enough and outworking your opponent. And Payne Haas, we see him do it at Clubland all the time. And I reckon, you know, Queensland will have a focus on Payne. They'll try and get up into his face, work hard from marker, work hard on the inside, work with their line speed to try and negate his go forward, and then trying to physically slow him down. Because when he gets on a roll and he gets in the mood, he really lays a strong platform for any team to work off the back of. And then you've got the, you know, Pengai Jr., who can carry the ball, he can offload. The other thing about Payne Haas's game, his ability to pass has developed over the last 12 months. You know, that pre-offload, also the offload into the tackle. So that's a point of difference as well. But yeah, you're right. I think that, you know, for Cleary and Luai to do their magic, they need a strong New South Wales performance through the middle with their forwards.
Gee, I tell you what, I've just watched a surgeon at work watching Clarkey with a sizable knife just cut up that apple and devour it. Mm. You reminded me of Frank Underwood on House of Cards.
Frankie just, boy. I like to use a knife. I'm a fan of a knife.
Really, really. I'll tell you what, you didn't choose
knife
a small
with all
one
things,
either.
To be honest. Yeah, oh, that's all I could find in the drawer. Mm. Sharp. Knives compulsory have to be sharp at home.
Yeah.
All knives need to be sharp.
Lots of response still to your bed situation. No top sheet on with Clarkey.
I'm copying a bit of a survey. Hard to believe Clarkey's
single sarcasm. How uncouth, you filthy grubs. Top sheet 100%. I bet you know top sheeters don't wash that doona cover regularly.
That's not true.
Look down on them daily. That's disgusting, says Darren.
Thank you, Darren. I'm supporting you.
This is okay, very good. How often do you wash your sheets? Here we go.
I wouldn't have a clue. My wife.
Okay, when you go home tonight, can you ask her?
All right.
I wash my sheets twice a week.
Do you?
Twice. Well, actually, that's a lot. I do not wash my sheets. My sheets get washed
twice a week.
I change sheets twice a week. So let's not talk about hygiene here. I'm extremely clean. My doona cover gets washed.
Let me go home and check first.
Yeah, I don't reckon you'd wash your sheets or your wife would wash your sheets as much as me. I like, so I told you, I like the hotel vibe, feel.
Yeah, but I just don't
towel.
Like
what about your shower towel? How often do you wash your shower towel?
Oh, I know, I get plenty of uses out of
it.
Yeah,
see, no way. No more than 2 days can you use a towel for.
Yeah, but I have 3 showers a day.
Me too. So there's 6 showers.
So I have
new towel, out.
Yeah, I need a wife.
No, careful what you wish for.
I have a shower in the morning, shower when I
after
I
the,
come
gym,
to the gym,
shower before you sleep. Yeah. I'm exactly the same.
Not before I sleep, but I'll have one about like 6 o'clock at night.
No, I need it before I go to bed. I need a shower.
Yeah. Yeah.
You need to feel fresh when you jump into that single sheet, Lozza.
Yeah, that's off.
What do you mean?
No,
one sheet?
Not, yeah, you've got to have double sheet.
Well, you start making your own bed and see if you feel the same.
Yeah, but
it does, mate. You got to always at the bottom. You got to pull it up. Mm-hmm. Then do you tuck the double sheet, the top sheet in, or do you leave it out?
Yeah, I'm a
do you put your pillows on top or underneath?
Hospital corner, man.
Yeah, so you got to tuck it in, mate. It's too hard. And then what's that little frilly bit at the bottom? As you got to tuck the sheet in, it gets stuck in there as well.
You're a hospital corner man.
That's what they call
it. Spent some time in the army. spent a bit of army time.
Will do, man.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that for years.
Yeah, you got to get the hospital corner. They still call it the hospital corner?
Yeah, well, I'm sure they do. My mum would.
Yeah.
Definitely.
My mum, mate, It was like we had lessons as kids. Yeah. You had to teach us how to make the tuck
sheet. That's why I remember.
Maybe that's why I don't use a top sheet.
Well, so what about people when they don't tuck? They just put the sheet on.
Oh, no, you can't. Not tuck at the bottom
they
either.
Don't tuck at
sides.
The bottom. No.
See, that sheet's got it. That sheet's painful because you want your foot out at least. Even if I'm under the doona, I want my leg out.
Yeah.
I want my leg to get a bit of air.
My leg stays in, but my arm comes out.
I'm a leg out always. Sleep on your tummy or your back or your side?
No, side.
Yeah, see, I'm on my stomach.
What?
I sleep on my stomach, yeah.
How
with one arm under the pillow.
Yeah, they all sort of do that.
Yeah, and then legs out, no doona, doona move over.
I've tried to sleep on my stomach.
Oh, so comfy.
Kidding.
Better for my back.
What are you?
Oh, I'm coffin sleeper, straight on the back.
So we're three of us are all different.
Yeah, if I sleep on my back, like on an aeroplane, I feel like I'm like protecting myself. I've got to have like my arms folded. Someone's going to jump on me.
Nah, yeah, I can't sleep any other way.
Nah, on my stomach. You'd snore too, I reckon. You'd be a big snorer. On your back, you'd be sucking the curtains in.
Not too bad. Depends how many I've had.
Yeah.
What else have we got on the text line here? There's a tip at Canterbury. Red hot tip today. Canterbury, race one, number 7. Wezza says Mossy at Newcastle. $6.50. Cookie's coming up soon. He's coming off a win.
Stanley's not coming off a win.
He said he won
yesterday.
How did
his moral go yesterday?
Didn't go. Oh, actually, you know what? It was a three-way go, but it just missed out. It wasn't a bad run, actually.
Let's stop this talking about.
Well, I need to proofread quite.
Yeah, let's change. Can we change the subject? I can't get rid of
it. Well, this story I was going to get to earlier on the back page of the Herald, of course, the build-up to the Ashes continues. Stark fires broadside over void Ashes claim. There were the comments I'm sure we spoke about a month ago from Stuart Broad saying how, you know, he didn't class it as the real Ashes, what happened in Australia when they're out here on quarantine. And Mitchell Starks just responded to that. He goes, was that really quarantine? The Poms had the pool, the gym, they were in a resort on the Gold Coast, they trained at Metricon, they were allowed to play golf. Is that an excuse for 4-0? Nah, this is good to see. Have a bit of a crack at each other. By the way, scans have cleared Ollie Robinson of ankle damage after he pulled up sore in a recent county match. James Anderson, they're all patting his back over there at the moment because it was 20 years yesterday since he made his test debut. And you've spoken about longevity a lot, Clarkie, and then labelling greatness, and that's something certainly on his side, James Anderson.
Yeah. Oh, look, I don't enjoy praising James at any opportunity. I'm quick to sledge him when I get a chance, but you've got to give credit where credit's due. He's been phenomenal for England. His record speaks for itself. Fast bowler to play that much cricket is unbelievable. You know, physically, there's no more demanding job, I reckon, in cricket. Being a fast bowler, running in every single day. And I played cricket against him when I think, might have been 17, 16. I don't know, might have been 17 over in Lancashire League. So, he's been exceptional, Jimmy. And he'll bowl beautifully in this series. He's still got everything you need in those conditions because pace isn't the most important thing. His control, his accuracy, the way he swings the ball. And the other thing about Anderson that I do respect and have always respected is he's a tough competitor. He doesn't back down. He'll give it to you on the field. He won't shy away from that banter. And he backs it up because he's a quality bowler. So the Aussie batters will need to be on when facing him over in those conditions. He's a genius over there.
What speed do you have to be a fast bowler?
So you go from medium fast to fast. I reckon you've got to be 135 plus.
So is he...
He is...
Fast or medium fast?
No, he would be...
He's medium fast.
He's probably medium fast, Jimmy Anderson, because he can bowl 135, but if you look through, say, the middle overs of a game, he's probably somewhere between 127 and 130. That's probably his average speed. So I would say Anderson's medium fast.
Because McGrath was...
Same, medium same fast. Yep. Pidge was a bit quicker. Oh, no, nah, probably similar pace, I reckon. Pidge, different bowler. Yeah. Glenn McGrath was tall, hit the wicket hard. Seam, where Anderson's swing bowler. He's, genuine swing bowler, Anderson.
Just found a card for Jimmy Anderson's first ever test. Alex Stewart was still playing. He was quite old when he finished playing as well. So, yeah, 20 years in Test cricket, yeah, James Anderson.
It's phenomenal. You've got to respect that, no matter who you are. That's a brilliant effort. And if he wants to keep going, I think if he's used the right way and probably just plays at home more than playing away series, unless conditions are really conducive. But, yeah, I think he's... And that's the other thing. He hasn't had many injuries for a quick to bowl that many overs. He hasn't had many injuries, so he's looked out for his body very well.
Shane-o, morning.
Biddo, boys, how are you today?
Yeah, great, Shane. What's happening?
Look, yeah, I want to talk about Luai playing at hooker, but just before that, the passing of Jim Brown on the weekend, regarded as the greatest running back in the history of the NFL, incredible activist, doing a lot for the black population over there in America. I know he was a bit of a flawed human being, but he never bowed to the left. And when Colin Kaepernick carried on like an idiot, he pulled him up too. And I mean, he won the last championship with the Cleveland Browns back in 64 and nothing since. But this man, I'm surprised Dick Fain didn't mention, because he's like a godlike figure over there. Amazing. Look, boys, just on Luai playing hooker, it's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Look, the reason he's playing hooker is to fill in for Coruscant is just stupid. You've got Nicho Hynes there. Luai should be given 20 minutes. If he fails in the first 20 minutes, you bring on Nicho Hynes. Luai's had two big games in the last 7 weeks. Nicho Hynes has been on fire for the last 18 months. We need a game breaker after 20 minutes. If Luai's struggling, and Nicho Hynes will give Munster nightmares, especially with his ribs. Mate, he will run all over the field, and we need a weapon out there, and Hynes is the answer. If we are struggling in that first 20, he's got to be out there.
Yeah, well, it's interesting to see what Freddie does there if they give Appy a spell, because I'm a bit like you. If you're going to give Appy a spell and you want to put Nicho Hynes in, I don't think you're going to get the best out of Nicho by playing him hooker. You're going to get the best out of him by playing him at six, but then you come back to one of the reasons why they're picking Luai is because of his combination with Cleary. If you put him into hooker, well, you lose that combination straight away. I'm just interested to see how it all sort of unfolds and what actually happens, Shane. I know you were talking about the opening 20 minutes of the game. I don't think they'll make a change then. I think it'll be more possibly in the second half after, 45, 50 minutes, they might look to get Appy off the field if he's struggling. But you just don't know how the game's going to pan out. You know, you don't know. New South Wales might have 65% of possession, so you mightn't have to give Appy a rest. They might be just dominant. Yeah. But they've got someone there that they need to play just in case something happens to Appy. So and there's talk that Luai's going to be that bloke. I don't know how often Luai's gone in there for Penrith either, by the way.
I just can't understand. If we're going to have Nicho on the bench the whole game, you might as well pick another forward. The guy is unbelievable. He can turn a game single-handedly. And I know Luai's the number one five, but, mate, I would have Nicho at the moment any day of the week. I just think it's a waste of space having him on the bench. Get him out there as soon as you can, anywhere.
Yeah, the only thing I'd say to that, Shano, would be, like with these HIAs at the moment, if an outside back goes down, you've got to have someone there on your bench that could go there and play. So that 14 at times, yes, you have a plan for him, but sometimes it's hard to get him into the game. It's just difficult to get him into the game.
That's the case. Good problem to have. Yeah. Nicho Hynes is sitting on the bench the entire game. You're assuming we're winning.
Well, you look at some of the NRL teams when they carry their benches, sometimes a player doesn't get a run. And it's just hard. It's difficult to have that utility knowing where he's going to get a run. You've got to have someone there in case someone gets a head knock out wide. And for me, Nicho can play a number of positions. A Burton can play a number of positions. A Whiten in the past has done it. You've got to have them. But it'll be interesting to see what type of role he actually plays.
Good on you, Shane. Thanks for the call. And just on Luai, I remember Selwyn Cobbo called him a grub at a podcast some time ago. for taunting him when Cobbo was lying on the ground last year. Well, Luai yesterday urged Cobbo to do something about it next Wednesday. This is what we wanted more of this. Call each other out.
We do until there's a blue in Origin and then everyone blows up. They jump up and down.
This is what Origin's all about. You probably never really called each other out. The hate was just there as soon as you put blue and maroon on when you were playing Oz. Did players call each other out? I suppose, there was less... The media was different, obviously, to what it is now.
Yeah, just trying to think. I don't think so.
Didn't have
but certainly
to.
Internally.
Oh,
there was
sure.
a lot of talk would happen around how you were going to approach it. You always sort of knew if there was going to be a blue because that was spoken about... before the game.
Could you not assume every game there was going to be stink back then?
But that's how times have changed, isn't it? Like, you sure. just knew that it was going to happen. Mm. I knew that I was never going to be a part of it, but I knew it was going to happen. So I was happy as captain to go, righto, boys, yep, get it on. <Let's> get it. I'll stand back and watch. And when I was there, you had Harrigan. You had Lazarus, you had Sirenin, you had Cartwright, you had Roberts.
Geyer.
You had Geyer, you had...
If he wasn't suspended.
Mate, we had monsters. Bradley Clyde. Mate, we just had massive blokes that can go. So it was always good to encourage them to get involved in it.
I'm sure you played in the Geyer match. You would have been...
Yeah.
Guy and Wally. He was given a license, wasn't he, heading into that match?
Well, yeah, he was. Well, back then it was different. It was totally different to what it is now. You know, boys would be discussing what they would do before the game. And carry out the instructions.
Pre-planned punch-up.
Well, it was a pre-plan. Yeah. Second scrum, first scrum.
Like, get ready.
If someone pushes you, don't cop it. Just put one straight on his chin and away we go.
Right.
And if you didn't rush in and help,
days.
What they call you, a coward.
Now there'd basically be a royal commission.
Imagine an all-in
seriously. Adam Pengilly, good morning, mate.
Morning, Jared. Morning, boys. Never ceases to amaze me what you blokes talk about on this program sometimes with all your bed sheets and your sleeping patterns and everything like that.
You got anything to add?
Well, I go for like a bed sheet. Then a blanket, then a doona. So I like to really rug up and be nice
and warm.
Oh, you
got the middle blanket. Like that sort of throw thing that you put on in the middle.
Yes. I like to stay warm at night. But I do agree with...
I'm sweating thinking about that.
No, but I do agree with you, Clarky. I have to sleep on my stomach. I have to sleep on my stomach at night. I can't sleep on my back or my side. It's no good for your back, I don't reckon.
Yeah, it depends on your bed. Anyway, let's talk some racing.
All got the flash bed. You've got the one you press, press that button, it comes up, goes down, spins around.
Gosh, how do I talk racing now? The Kingsford Smiths on Saturday amongst the Derby. There's the size as well. We've had barrier draws for those races and acceptances yesterday. And Think About It is the favourite for the Kingsford Smith Cup, the Group 1 over 1,300 for Joe Pride.
Yeah, well, how good is he, Jared? We just don't know yet, do we? Given he keeps just jumping the bar every time that Joe sets him a new challenge. He's 7 from 8 so far. They've got a nice barrier there yesterday with Sammy Clipperton to do the steering from barrier 8. And I see he's been installed as an early favourite for that race. But I reckon there's a few different angles you can take. I'm sort of looking at a horse like King of Sparta, who we know loves dry tracks and a bit of speed on and hopefully getting out to 1,300 metres. I think he's ready for that trip now. Obviously, Rothfire's been racing extremely consistently up there in Queensland. Even Paul Ailey might be having his final run before heading to stud. So, yeah, I can understand why I think about it's going to have some market support, but I just reckon it's a racing attack from a few different angles. So, taking on his first Group 1, yep, I can understand, but it's going to be a much more difficult task than what he's faced so far in his career.
Zach Lloyd, he's back from suspension, is he?
Yeah, he is. He's spent some time out of the saddle lately with a lot of suspensions, and it's remarkable to think he's still right in the thick of this premiership race for the apprentice title, given how much time he's spent on the sidelines. So he copped that 3-week ban for weighing in light on that horse at Hawkesbury a few weeks ago, and obviously the stewards take a pretty dim view of any time a jockey does that. So he's back at Canterbury today trying to, I suppose, fight off Dylan Gibbons and Tyler Schiller to win that apprentice title. And when we get to sort of these months in Sydney, getting to the back end of May and then June, and in particular July, we really do put a really strong focus on the premiership race. We know that J-Muck's clear in the senior jockey title, but to have the apprentices running second, third and fourth on the table is just absolutely remarkable. So I can't wait to see those young lads do their best over the next couple of months in winter, when a lot of these younger jockeys tend to get a lot more opportunities in winter throughout these months when some of the senior riders are heading to Queensland and other places. So we wish Zach all the best, and let's hope he can really take it right down to the line in this apprentice race.
Wish I owned Forbidden Love, or at least used to own it.
Can you believe this, Jared? Like, the amount of money is getting splashed around these broodmare sale up there on the Gold Coast is just incredible, isn't it? We know she was a fantastic race mare. Multiple Group 1 winner, $4.1 million she went for yesterday at the broodmare sale. So she'll go to a nice home and start her career as a mum. The other one that really caught my attention, Jared, was Sunshine in Paris, the three-year-old filly that's trained by Annabelle Neesham, who came a long, long way in a very short space of time towards the back end of last year and the start of this year. She went from a Canberra maiden to winning a Group 1 in the Surround Stakes within the space of a couple of months. And she's going to race on, but she was sold for $3.9 million to James Harron. So it's just a remarkable amount of money going around this broodmare sale up there on the Gold Coast. James Harron obviously continued racing her for a little bit, and then she's got a really promising career at stud in the future.
Can I ask, Adam, because it seems like there's a lot of money at this particular sale, how long's all the big money been going at these broodmare sales? And is it because of there's more people involved in breeding, or is it the fact that we've got great prize money now here in New South Wales? Well, what have you put it down to?
I think it's a bit of all of the above, Loz. Like, the first thing is you've got to market for these horses. We've got some serious players in the market up there trying to build up their broodmare bands, in particular Yulong, who just splashed a ridiculous amount of money yesterday. I mean, they spent almost more than $10 million just buying up broodmares to send down to their farm to breed from. So that's part of it. Obviously, I think, you know, with fillies and mares, you get residual value, Loz. Like, you don't have to be the greatest race mare or filly on the track, but if you've got good bloodlines and good pedigree and you can breed from that mare, buyers want to buy those sort of horses at sale. So, you know, I suppose a lot of people think this might be a bit more of a solid return on investment buying a mare like that rather than splashing on a big yearling colt or something like that who might not be able to show up on the track. So I think I tend to agree with you a little bit. I think it's a different combination of factors, and the market is just really buoyant at the moment.
Tip Katili on the weekend. Let's go back-to-back, please. What have you got?
Yeah, I'm very boring today, Jared. Race 3, number 2, Bunk Hut's the best on the program for me. I know he's extremely short. He's the shortest price favour on the program, but I was really taken by his run up there on the Sunshine Coast in the Guineas behind Yellow Brick. He comes back to a really suitable race here today with James O'Donnell doing the steering. I just find it hard to see how he's going to get beat, so I think even money is still some sort of value. So that's Race 3, number 2, Bunker Hut, the best on the program at Canterbury today.
$2.15 at the moment with Tab. Have a great day, mate.
See you, boys. Chat tomorrow.